I'm happy to introduce Teresa Dillon, our curator and a colleague for the last year program with the Elemental Threads that started a 5-year kind of span of elements. We are gathered here with about 20 people from our workshop. There's familiar faces to you. At least Andy and Merina and Sari and at least those. We have 30 minutes for you in your break from your seminar in London. We hope you, obviously, to see you here in person later. But now we start this, and this will be the first of this year's hybrid conversations, which are taking the same kind of late lunchtime discussion on a chosen topic and person once in a month. And this will be published in our Kubu website, and you will be posted on the next ones, but this will carry through the whole year. So without further ado, I give the voice to Teresa Dillon.
Hi, nice to see everyone, and enjoying the kind of fractal glitches that it's all coming to. So Tummo and I have sort of are going to, I guess, chair this as a bit of a ping pong. There's a certain set of questions that we have also shared with each other relating to the program here, which actually started last year as a way to, I guess, expand what's physically happening within the gallery in terms of kind of questions. And so the work that you're all, I guess, orientating around today, being a massive body of water that is the Baltic Sea, from what I have understood, fits, of course, really nicely into this forthcoming program in 2026 at Kubu, which is on the element of water. So I guess before I kind of give an overview of the program, the kind of intention was really to share with you where the Elemental program kind of came from and the idea of it in the first place. So Tummo and Sari invited me last year to basically curate the summer program at Kubu, which was part of the island 700 years celebration. And in accepting, I guess, that invitation, I was sharing with them how my work has sort of moved from kind of classic, I guess, curatorial work where you come into a gallery and you design and define a program, and you know, you spend some years perhaps even researching the thematic of that, and so I had sort of actually sort of stopped in some ways that kind of invitation work from a gallery context. But what had moved into is a more research artist practice in a way. So how I've also always viewed in some ways my curatorial work is almost as an expanded literature view. A literature view is a tactic, really, or not a tactic, but a trope of academia, where when you're carrying out your work, you will go into a very deep dive on a particular thematic and you link your position to what other people have done, either practically or theoretically and methodologically. And so the space, I guess, and everything that was being developed at Kubu offered a possibility to explore then this elemental thread through a connected program that moved not just that moved beyond centering around the summer program, but also kind of looked at what essentially has become, I would say, the turn in the arts and humanities towards the element and the elements. And what are those elements that we're discussing? Well, it depends, I guess, on what framework you're kind of looking at. So from a sort of Chinese traditional medicine perspective, we have the classic elements of earth, fire, metal, and air. And then from another side of the medieval sort of perspectives, then we also get in ether. We also have fire air are kind of sometimes mixed up. So it depends really on the sort of the framework that you're looking at. But what essentially is sits behind these frameworks in a way, or diagrammatic constellations, cosmologies, is that this mix of earth, water, air, metal, fire, ether are in some configuration the kind of considered as the base material matter, almost from which all life emerges. And from a medieval perspective, this cosmology was the basis from which modern chemistry kind of came from, but it also took on a sort of more spiritual lens, one could sort of say, which was actually to sort of emphasize the interdependency of all beings and all things, which over the Enlightenment period, we have sort of that separation through disciplines and science methodologies. So in the last kind of couple of years, from the sort of perspective, as I mentioned, of kind of contemporary art practice, contemporary humanities, we sort of see a return in various different lines through to these elements. And I think many people would read that return in some ways as a point to kind of a get, not, I don't want to say a bit back to basics, but to kind of look towards how we kind of work, stay with the trouble, as Donna Haraway would sort of say, of the kind of climatic derangements that are happening at this moment in time, and the unfolding of living arrangements that are happening through the influence of human culture on Earth, also known as the Anthropocene. In a way, and I'm sure many of these terms and many of these configurations are probably landing with people in the room, in their work, in many different ways. And so the, I guess, the kind of presence of Khubu and where it's situated, both on an island, you know, with the population that also moves and changes through the seasons, located in the archipelago that is a UNESCO protected area, the historic mining that happened also on the island, all of the kind of the base elements are really present in the space the minute you sort of go and visit Khubu. And on top of that, I guess one of the fields of practice that connects my work and Tummo's work in particular has been around creative technologies and tech and media, and in a way, ether, which is the spirit that sort of connects the cosmos and the earth with the minerals, the substance that sort of floats between. In a way, felt like ether was an appropriate also element to bring forward, really, in a way, because it was sort of the common medium in some ways that we work with as ether, also in kind of early radio experiments, sort of is foregrounded as the materiality, and in even in early radio experiments and media art experiment, well, it depends on where you want to kind of trace lines of media art histories, but people would have thought that they're tapping into the ether to tap into a sort of a spirit world that also was kind of like sort of part of some of the early radio frequency sort of work. So in a way, there's a lot of entanglements, one could sort of say, around the elements that are kind of shaping this elemental thread. Last year, we had the opportunity through the supports from the island, as I mentioned, because of the 700 years, to have supports to do a summer program, and that focused on actually the earth and soil, and brought together nearly 60 practitioners between the exhibition and the workshops and performance events and other elements, other things that came into that in a way. But I would say beyond this, now we're on a course where actually it is moving, you know, almost from the formal invitation to create an exhibition into a much more exploratory program that is also partly responding to the conditions and the time and the ways of working that we actually hold in our hand at present, as well as things that we might want to achieve in the future, and being realistic then about what that means to do that work in a rural context. And I think that's really important to emphasize because prior to doing the work at Kubu, I had been also returning to the village that I grew up in Ireland, working there also, and understand the strengths and the limitations sometimes of showing work in a rural place where audience and time and efforts are actually kind of articulated in quite a different way. And so I think that's also part of the journey, really, in a way, of what does it mean to actually do this work that's usually located in urban centres and has easy immediate access, to actually think through a programme in a rural space. And that actually kind of already demands a slowness in a way, which is outside even of our, you know, in some ways I would even say if we had all the money in the world, there would be certain things that would just are constrained or are strengthened basically because of the position of where you're sort of working. So I think we tried a lot of stuff out. Tuma, please interrupt at any point here with your thoughts on this. We tried a lot of stuff out last year. And I think some of the main things that kind of came through were the creative technology residencies that were held also, again, slightly opportunistic way that they arose, because it was also through peer friendship networks that some of this stuff is happening. But we had the opportunity to have two people stay for a substantive period of time and feedback on that, as well as then shorter term stays of 1 week or a couple of days that allowed us to actually understand the value of what it means again to, I think, step outside the urban in a way, and to spend a concentrated amount of time in a rural location where there's actually expertise in-house that are substantial in relation to supporting people to nudge on or to get some feedback. And that's also the wider community that's around Kubu as well on a piece of work. And then so in some ways then there's opening up the Kubu offers that's quite different, both in terms of that type of a residency opportunity, but also in testing, acting as a testing ground for a piece of work or an exhibition before you maybe take it to somewhere else as well, because there's sort of safety and time that's there as well. Without dropping the kind of critical feedback that you can get. So, in some ways, the kind of wild ambition, I think, of the Elemental Threads program, without having, you know, lots of gold in the bank, is to kind of continue to thematically explore this with this year, the water theme already informing Sarah and Tumo's choice when they went to announce their usual call for works. And so that works then in the framework of the existing practice of Kubu, where people actually then orientated towards the water element. But we had already then seeded some ideas about the program in 2025, namely with Godzilla, who I think I heard Miria in the room before I spoke, so I'm sure you know are familiar with that work. And also then Ohanda, again, which Tumo is involved in, but other colleagues are involved in a wider network of creating a prototype for a sailing boat that also is a research platform that can imagine other ways of living and existing. So already we had sort of these watery lines kind of going on, and the program that has now been put together by Tumo and Sari, I think, reflects further local artists at all and national artists at all scales and levels, and international artists that who are working on this particular theme, with the kind of fine line now in terms of, let's say, my contribution, referring mostly landing, sorry, should I say, with the hybrid conversations, a potential manifestation, so to speak, in the bookshop, but also then in relation to supporting the River Collective's exhibition, which is between the 12th of September and sort of the 20th of October. And that will include working with some Chinese students who are part of our MA curatorial program at Winchester School of Art, who will do an intervention in the opening part of the gallery in the top. And then also looking at how to actually map the wells that are across the island in terms of where they are located, but also this sort of tasting of water, a sort of water sommelier that will be a performative intervention at the closing weekend of that River Collective. I mean, one thing I will say is that from the imaginary of water and of earth, of being with earth, of being with water, of becoming water, of all of those things, I was so profoundly struck last year by the change in my mind that it produced, because you end up, whether you're a curator or an artist, actually coming into this, you actually start to just think with soil. You know, you're reading text, you're looking at people's work, you're putting your hands into the ground, you're building a garden, shed, you're blessing it, you're, reading of the degradation and the collapse, of soil, or you're in awe once more at the 50,000 species that we know are in a gram of soil, and sort of having to kind of then, walk through that work. And it's now the same as happening with water. There's almost like a somatic change that you can start to begin to experience, which is actually kind of quite profound, and also really viscerally it taps into, I think, what is the truth of these elements, in that they are present in all of our cultures. We have ancient rituals around water, ancient rituals around soil, ancient rituals and understandings of air and weather and patterns and sensibilities and sensitivities that we have either forgotten or stopped tuning into simply, And I think that the elemental turn in the humanities is a demand in the kind of Western mindset to go back there in a way, to kind of be able to cut across the separation that has sort of happened. We have a really exciting lineup of speakers that we're sort of just reaching out to at the moment, that we haven't had fully confirmed, but that will be sort of inhabiting this space every month, from legal scholars who are working on thinking about water, to artists who have substantive practices where they have been, either growing up sailing or with water bodies, and then are finding themselves coming back to that and looking at water through various different lenses, either through story, either through poetry, either through data or media, or resurrecting, also ancient knowledges, I would say, about water. And I think the aspiration would be, and again, I say aspiration here lightly because we're just figuring out how, even within our own resource capacities, we're doing this, is to have at the end of the 5 years a kind of a body of material that can then warrant its own knowledge base, in a sense, or, and that can maybe be a book, but it could also be the website and also the artifacts and the memories and the documentations of the works that we have already sort of started to do, including conversations with people who have been involved in the program and are involved in the program. And I guess what I'm beginning to try understand then is really both, what does it mean to do this over time? Because you imagine a 5-year program, and I think in academic circles it's quite normal to think in these long term sort of like lines, really, in a way. But usually you're only permitted to think on those long-term lines when there's already funded like, pathways. And I think this is the challenge here, is actually what this means when there's a commitment from both parties to actually think about this over time, but without all of that security there, which is sounding very precarious, of course, because it is. But maybe you end up making work in ways then that are actually quite interesting that could come out of it, or need to tap into alternative economies. And I think with the cuts that are happening, at least, we've had this brutal cost in England. I know that Finland has gone through the same. These other ways of thinking have to kind of be practiced, because either the work that is being funded is kind of going down very neoliberal tubes, and that's fine on some levels, but it doesn't necessarily mean that some things can actually get practiced. And I think that's the important bit of what's kind of subtly going on at this moment in time. That's the spiel, in a way, for this moment in time, to kind of give you a sense of it. I mean, I love the fact that we're having these conversations in winter, when, from Chinese traditional medicine perspective, water is associated with the winter element, and with the bear, and with our kidneys, and with our bladder, and the kind of pathways for this month, and particularly as we've turned into a new year, Chinese New Year, are kind of all vibrant and feeling, quite kind of present, as we're sort of trying to figure out the full year, in a way. And this sort of holistic approach to sort of seasons and bodies, parts, and meridian lines, and it's a guiding template, really, to think about what this sort of means. And this really ties into Sarah's practice, of course, both as a craft maker and as a herbalist and as a gardener, and I think has a lot of resonance with what she has been doing. So, like, last year was one of the other really nice things to work alongside is Rita in
Nipa.
Rita
Nipa
in
is not today
yeah,
here. Yeah.
but like this curatorial accident that kind of happened with working with people who are already in the mind of these things meant that actually there was a lot of synergy without having to actually create a lot of effort, which was actually quite beautiful to sort of see in practice. It's not like we had a big curatorial board meeting where everyone sat down and scratched their head and went, okay, well, you're doing that and I'm doing that. But at the same time, it came together in a very nice way. So yeah, so the subtle art of amplification is what we're trying to do, I guess, at this moment. But it's really, I'm quite happy to talk a bit more if there's questions in the room about, how does this work connect to the bigger research program that's happening and that you're gathered around, and whether there's, what's kind of, contributions can kind of be had.
I'll turn around. Any comments or questions or greetings to Teresa? We just heard from Andy and Maria here that we have a date for the Godzilla arrival. Well, obviously it's a sailing boat. You never know when it's going to arrive, but we have a kind of a imagined schedule. Here is the Il Capitano. Oh.
Hello, disappearing.
Hi.
I'm disappearing
Spooky.
into the ether.
Into the water element.
Yeah. Very nice to see you.
Nice to see you, Andy. Hi, hi. Hi.
So I don't think there's any urgent questions here. And there's kind of there's Tapio says hi.
Hi, Teresa, emerging from
Oh,
this futuristic
hello.
space.
Hi.
Hi.
So nice to see you.
Likewise, you're in the black and we're in this sort of so in Ireland there's been now this well it's been reported in the news that there is an artist salary in place. So I'm curious of like how you see that being sort of a democratizing effect in terms of working
Mm.
as an artist or a creative in the countryside.
Okay, nice question. I mean, one thing I'll say is that I'm still working predominantly in the UK, so the actual artist wage doesn't apply to me because you have to be tax resident in Ireland. But the decision, actually, it was piloted, and those that I know that have gotten it have received it for a couple of years, and it's, I think it's a kind of some. In, for some, it's creating it's a game changer moment, of course, because it actually allows a sort of a stability to happen. Others have also shared that in some cases, it depends on what their prior background situation was, in a way, a bit similar to some of the other universal credit schemes. I think that if you had been receiving different pots of support, it may have reduced your income as well. So it kind of is quite dependent, but overall it's been received really, really, really well. But we also had the system for decades in place in Ireland where it was a bit more elite in a sense, but artists were selected across the country and received a year really stipend that was a livable stipend. So many poets, many filmmakers, many of our leading artists already were in that kind of scheme. So in some ways I see it historically as an extension of what actually already is, I would say, a very vibrant cultural scene in Ireland where artistic life is not necessarily so separated in the way that it is in some countries. In general. So yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Cool. I think we are in the end of our half an hour. We have a one more presentation for the today's work, and we continue tomorrow with more kind of open day. There will be the results available, and we have four nice demonstrations on various topics touching the water. But we say hi from here to there.
Yeah.
And catch up in this format monthly.
Yeah.
We'll put the schedule when we have the speakers. We have the dates roughly sketched out. And we will definitely see you here during the autumn.
Yeah.
We might even see if there's a chance of kind of at least I will come and see you earlier.
Yeah,
So,
exactly.
this is very interesting. Thank you so much for your time and the continuation for the Elemental Threads team. And as said, there's kind of words like experimentation and kind of risk taking involved in the what we are running or precarious situation without necessarily kind of for the fund is what we would wish for this. But we have managed to do quite a lot of interesting things with a fantastic network of people without kind of that much of a planning years ahead for this project. So it's the whole thing is an experimentation.
Yeah, but
Right.
I think I think it's interesting. Just, I mean, I just to close, like, we could spend hours here talking, in a sense, about the new languages that are emerging. Hydrofeminism and the environmental humanities and elemental humanities and the digital the role of these types of practices within kind of a public digital humanities, in a sense, which is, essentially what happens when you have those that are working on the layer of creative technologies intersecting in a way that are producing weak signals or providing understandings or pathways through which we can imagine another way of living. And Godzilla is a great example of that, or activities that are happening in Kubu at that layer are also a really good example of that. And I think that's kind of part of the kind of the work, really. And I'm slowly understanding, really, essentially, that act of translation that I've also got to do all of the, with this work as well. But there's, I think I'm quite enjoying the pace. that we've now set in a way that is allowing that to happen in some ways without pressures, which is actually quite interesting. There's of course pressures to some extent because we both have to turn up for each other. We all have to turn up for each other and do the bits, but actually, I think that those types of things maybe kind of can be understood by also connecting to others who have actually been working also in rural practices, which is actually what we have been speaking about. And there's a number of people around the Baltic regions, for example, and around Kemiotone who are doing that work and know what this means. The same also with practices that are located in rural Ireland. And I think that this is one of the things that is sort of interesting really at the moment, because I'm sure that you have the same thing happening in Finland where people just simply can't live in cities anymore, and so they are migrating out. And so it does bring another question into the room in a way about that role of what it means to inhabit a rural space and connect in meaningful ways, knowing also that in rural spaces connecting to the locals can take time as well. So I'm sort of interested in all of those aspects really of what we're doing and how it works as well. So yeah,
Cool.
have a good rest of the day and
Thank
take
you. Our water theme is completely frozen at the moment in Finland, and tomorrow we attract the local public of kind of spinning them on the massive ice carousel, and then try to lure them into around the cultural, more maybe critical topics. But first, we spin them around.
Yeah, nice,
So
nice,
that's
nice.
the plan. Yeah.
We've had the longest days of rain
Oh
yeah.
yeah, it's beautiful here now. So, but a bit
Great. Have a
nippy.
good time.
Yeah.
Nice to see you all. Take it
Bye
easy.
bye. Thank you so much. Bye
Bye.
bye. Bye bye.